All right, repeat this after me tonight. Say, God is good,
God is good.
All the time, and all the time,
God is good.
All right, well, this month's theme, of course, is Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving Day is tomorrow, November 26th. Anybody out there excited?
Amen.
About Thanksgiving Day, you get to spend some time maybe with some family and friends and eat some good food, but it's more than that, and we're going to talk about that in just a minute. And I want you for the next couple of minutes, and I've said this over the last couple of services, but think about somebody special in your life. As you were growing up, maybe an aunt or an uncle, a mom or a dad, a grandparent that was there for you. They poured into your life. They mentored you. They were there in your time of need. And when you cried, they were there to cry with you. When you laughed, they were there to laugh with you. This person had some type of special input into your life. Think about that person for the next couple of moments. And tomorrow on Thanksgiving Day, I encourage you to contact that person. Make some type of contact. Maybe face-to-face. Maybe a telephone call. Just tell that person how thankful you are for them. Okay? Just tell that person how thankful you are for them. After all, guys, it is Thanksgiving Day. You know, the world has their ideas of what Thanksgiving Day is all about. Some people in the world, in America, who are not Christians, think that Thanksgiving Day is about turkey and mashed potatoes and stuffing and hanging out with families and friends and, you know, maybe going fishing or so forth and so on. But we know what Thanksgiving Day is all about as Christians. Amen?
Amen.
Thanksgiving Day is rooted in giving thanks to God for His manifold blessings upon our lives. God has given us so many good things. Thank God every day for one good thing that He's given to you. Think about one thing a day that God has given to you and thank Him for it. You've got the gift of arms and legs. You've got eyes that you can see with, a mouth that you can speak with, ears that you can hear with.
God gives me the breath of life.
Gives you the breath of life. He gives you new breath every single day. He gives you the ability to move, the ability to read His Word. Think about one thing every day that God has done for you and give Him thanks for it. Encourage you to do it on a daily basis, not just on Thanksgiving Day. A lot of people think that, you know, I'm going to thank God on Thanksgiving Day. I'm going to practice Thanksgiving to God this one day. But friends, we're to practice not Thanksgiving only one day a year, but we're to practice thanks living. Thanking God on a continual basis. And tonight I'm here to tell you that the greatest gift that we're to give God thanks for is what? The name of the message is Thank God for the Best Gift. The best gift that God has given to us, that we're to give Him thanks for, is the gift of salvation. Let's turn to Isaiah 51, verses 4 through 6. Isaiah 51, verses 4 through 6. It was written to the people thousands of years ago, but friends, it still applies to us today. Let's turn to verse 4. Yes, sir. Listen to me, my people. Hear me, my nation. The law will go out from me. My justice will become a light to the nations. My righteousness draws near speedily. My salvation is on the way, and my arm will bring justice to the nations. The islands will look to me and wait in hope for my arm. Lift up your eyes to the heavens. Look at the earth beneath, in verse 6. The heavens will vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and its inhabitants die like flies. But my salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail. What's the theme in Isaiah 51, verses 4 through 6? I'll tell you what it is, and it's repeated more than once. It talks about God's righteousness, in verse 5, and His salvation. It says, my righteousness draws near speedily. My salvation is on the way. And then look at the end of verse 6. But my salvation will last forever. My righteousness will never fail. Friends, the greatest gift that God has given to us is the gift of salvation. Remember when God created humanity, he told Adam, Adam, you can eat of any tree in the garden, but the tree I do not want you eating of is the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. And so the serpent came in Genesis 3 and tempted the woman. She ate of the forbidden fruit. She gave some to her husband. And sin entered the world. What is sin? Friends, sin is separation from God. You may be separated from God tonight, but at the end of this service, you'll have an opportunity to reconcile with God, the creator of heaven and earth. 2,000 years ago, God did something awesome. He sent Jesus Christ, the last Adam. And what did Jesus do? He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. At 33 years old, he fulfilled his ultimate mission. He died upon the cross for your sins and my sins. Friend, he died upon the cross so that you and I would not have to die in hell. That's good news. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus died so that we could be reconciled back to God. He was the perfect and spotless Lamb of God who was given to this world. He died so that we would not have to die eternally. He died so that we could come back into friendship and fellowship with God, the gift of salvation. I want to concentrate on verse 5 again of Isaiah 51, talking about the gift of salvation. My righteousness draws near speedily. My salvation is on the way. It's on the way to the ends of the earth. And it says, the islands will look to me and wait in hope for my arm. Let's see what Jesus has to say about the gospel and salvation in Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, if you have a Bible. Jesus left the temple, said to his disciples, do you see all these things? I tell you the truth, not one stone here will be left on another. Every one will be thrown down. Verse 3 of Matthew 24. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. Tell us, they said, when will this happen and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? They say, Jesus, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus goes to give signs of the end of the age and of his coming. Signs that will precede his coming. And I want to talk about one of the major signs in verse 14 of Matthew 24. It's in line with this gift of salvation that we've been talking about. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. This gospel will be preached as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. It says in Isaiah 51, his salvation is on the way. The salvation of God through Jesus Christ is making its way through this earth. You know, there's people groups out there that we've never heard of. Groups of people, that ethnic groups we've never heard of, that are receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's churches being planted around the world every day as a result of the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached. There's Bibles being translated into languages that you and I have never heard of. This gospel is being preached in the entire world. It's being preached here in downtown Tulsa, here at John 3:16, at other shelters. So the gospel is making its way into every people group and nation of this world. And what does Jesus say? It will be preached in the whole world, this gospel, as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. Then the end will come. We're going to go to verse 29 of Matthew 24 in just a minute. I want to share this with you tonight. It's a serious word. I was yesterday thinking, praying, meditating. I was in the courtyard of where I live. And all at once I sensed the Spirit of Christ speaking to me. And he told me to tell his church, to tell the people, that his second return is very near. The second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth is very near. And as I said, we can see it because the gospel is being preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. Let's look at verse 29 of Matthew 24. Immediately after the distress of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky, and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Verse 30. At that time, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and all the nations of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Verse 32, now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see all these things, you know that it is near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away.
Amen.
The biggest sign is that the biggest sign that is preceding the second return of Christ is that the gospel is being preached to every ethnic group in this world. And I'm here to ask you tonight, friends, are you ready for the second return of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
When he splits the eastern sky, will you be ready to meet him in the sky? He's coming again. The sky will open up, the trumpet will sound, and Jesus will appear. Are you going to be ready to be snatched away with the church to meet Jesus in the air and make your destination heaven? What is the church? The church, are the true church, are those who have accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. They are those who are true followers and disciples of Jesus Christ. So that's my question to you tonight. It's God's question to you tonight. God is not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. God is not willing that any person in this room tonight would perish in hell, but he's willing that all would change their minds, would repent, and make Jesus Christ Savior and Lord.
Amen.
So the question tonight is this: are you ready when Jesus returns? The second time appearing in the skies.
I'm ready.
His second return, his second coming, friend, is very, very near. Nobody knows the day and the hour, but we can say this, that it is very near, very, very close. Are you ready? Look at this, verse 36 of Matthew 24. No one knows about the day nor the hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And the people in Noah's time were thinking this: there's no flood coming. It ain't going to happen in our lifetime. They were eating, drinking, and giving themselves up in marriage. Verse 39, they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away. These people were not prepared for the flood. They perished. They were destroyed. It says that is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Verse 40, two men will be in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding with a handmill. One will be taken and the other left. I'm here to ask you tonight, do you want to be one of the ones who is taken or left? Which one do you want to be when Jesus appears a second time in the clouds to snatch away his church? I want to be one of the ones who is taken, who is snatched away. How about you?
Amen.
Verse 42. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. What house are we talking about tonight? He's talking about a person guarding and protecting his house. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. What's the analogy, the comparison here? What house are we talking about tonight?
The house of God.
The house of your life. The house of your life. Friends, are you keeping watch over the house of your life? Are you guarding your life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Are you protecting your life? Are you guarding your thoughts 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Are your thoughts God thoughts or worldly thoughts? Are you guarding your mind from the thoughts entering it? Are you guarding what you do with your body? Are you doing what the world does with their bodies? Or are you doing what is holy with your body? What are you doing with your house, your life? Are you guarding the words that come out of your mouth? Are they godly words, pure words, or are they words that the world speaks? Are you guarding your relationships? Keeping godly relationships with those around you. Friends, are you keeping watch over your house? Your house is your life. We do not know exactly when Jesus is returning, but his return is very, very close. In Isaiah 51, verses 4 through 6, it says, "My salvation is on the way. His righteousness is near." You don't know when he'll return. You don't know when he'll return. You've got to keep constant watch over your life. Say it with me tonight. I want to be one of the ready ones. Ready for the second return of Jesus Christ. I want to be snatched away with the church when Jesus appears in the clouds of this earth. Friends, keep watch over your life. Keep watch over your life. God has got something wonderful in store for you in heaven. There is a heaven out there, friends. Don't let anyone or anything tell you differently. There is heaven out there. This earth will soon pass away, but we were made to live forever and ever with God in heaven. You may be suffering here on this earth. You might be in poverty here tonight. You may be suffering with sickness in your body, with depression. But guess what? God has got a wonderful place in store for us where there is no more sickness. There is no more depression. There is no more poverty, for all needs are met in the presence of God in heaven. And very soon he is coming to take away his church. And the question you need to ask yourself tonight is this: am I part of the church? The body of Christ. Are you part of the church? The true church. Are you a true follower of Jesus Christ? There's a lot of people sitting out there in the pews of churches that are fooling themselves, thinking they can act like the world, not keeping a watch over their house. But when the Son of Man returns, they may miss it. I'm here to tell you tonight, friends, don't fool yourself. You say that Jesus Christ is your Savior. But my question to you tonight is this: is Jesus Christ your Lord? What does Lord mean? Lord means ruler. Is he in charge over every single part of your life? You can bow your life to the world's way of doing things, or you can bow your life to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Which will you do? I am going to bow my life to the lordship of Jesus Christ. How about you?
Amen.
You've got to keep a watch over your house, over your life. Because you know what? Jesus Christ could be returning a second time tonight. Within the next 30 minutes. Within the next hour. Within the next week. Within the next month. Don't let the enemy deceive you. The enemy would want to deceive you into thinking this. Oh, just enjoy the world. Flirt with the world. Do the things that the world does. You know, it's okay to be involved with those immoral relationships. And continue smoking those cigarettes and getting drunk on wine and getting high and going to fortune tellers or palm readers. He's not coming back very soon. The enemy would want to deceive you into thinking that way. But friend, I'm here to tell you tonight, it's a very sobering word that if you're found in one of those situations when the Son of Man returns, you may not be one of the ones that are taken. You've got to keep a watch 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Let's look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7 in the Sermon on the Mount. Verses 13 through 14. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. Broadway leads to destruction, friends. Verse 14 of Matthew 7. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. The way that leads to eternal life, the way that leads to that assurance on the inside that when Jesus returns you'll be taken up, is a narrow road. Very thin. Christianity is not about fun and games, friends. It's a tight walk. It's a narrow walk. It's a walk of being aware constantly that Jesus could return at any moment. And that you need to be aware, keep watch over your life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You know, sometimes you may slip and you might get weak. But in those times, say, God, I slipped, I got weak, and I'm sorry. Because if you confess your sins to Him, He is faithful and just and will forgive you of your sin and cleanse you of any unrighteousness. When you slip, when you get weak, just confess it to God. His grace is sufficient for you. He will give you His grace, His strength, to walk the narrow walk that Jesus talks about in Matthew 7, verse 14. So I want to close it off with this tonight. Are you ready for the second return of Jesus Christ to this earth?
Yeah, I'm refuge.
Will you be snatched away and taken up when He splits the eastern sky? Or will you be one of the ones left? Remember, friends, His second return could be at any moment. It can be tomorrow, in the next 30 minutes.